COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Ask Gallant Anything Friday, live from East River 9. We're going to be here the remainder of the afternoon, Killer Bees after me, before we head over to St. Arnold's for our listener appreciation party. So you got two chances to hang out with your boy. And you've got six more hours before all of us perhaps get a little sloppy. Gonna be fun. Not so fun last night. The Astros lost 8-4 to the New York Yankees. And what's really frustrating about that game is that there were some cool things that took place. For example, Yordan Alvarez is on an absolute tear. 2 4-hit games in a row. Would have been nice to see this early on in the year, but hey, he's healthy. Whatever he was dealing with in his hand, whether it was a muscle strain at first or eventually the diagnosis of a small hand fracture, it ain't affecting him at all. He goes yard off of a lefty last night, which was very cool to see. I don't know how he's so good against lefties. Since returning, he is 14 for his first 37. 14 hits in his first 37 plate appearances. He's hitting .500, 14 for 28 with a sacrifice fly to this point. That's absolutely nuts. But the problem is the Astros should be scoring 5 runs or more without assistance from the opposition on a more regular basis. We established that a little bit earlier in the week. And they didn't last night. Making matters worse, you got Christian Javier on the hill, and you know that Christian Javier is not going to be able to give you a full 6 innings. He's going to get pulled at some point in the 5th. But unfortunately, that 5th inning for Christian Javier is where the Astros lost the game. Because you think to yourself, okay, the Astros, they're in the midst of a tie game going into the 5th, but you get a home run, a single, another single. You've got a single to right field where the ball bounces awkwardly off of Jeremy Peña and into right field. And then when De Los Santos comes in, he walks a guy in with the bases loaded. It's 4-1, and then a couple of innings later, you saw an Astros reliever, Ort, gave up a 3-run homer to some guy by the name of Grisham, not John Grisham. You're at a point right now where these starts from Christian Javier bring in a bullpen that just does not have enough quality arms at this moment in time. And when you're going up against a team that's playing as well as the Yankees, good luck. The Yankees are one of the hottest teams in baseball and are the hottest team in the American League. Of late, they had won 7 in a row before losing to the Tigers, before starting their series against the Astros, and now they take 2 of 3. So, not freaking out here, but this is one of those games that exposes the shallow nature of the Astros' bullpen, which already has some questions now about Brian Abreu the last couple of nights with how he's looked when he's been brought into a save situation. Throwing a lot of pitches, giving up a lot of runs. Angels, more concerning than giving it up against the Yankees, but now the Astros get the Texas Rangers. And unfortunately for the Astros, this is once again one of the hottest teams in the American League that they are about to play. They have won 7 of 10, though they have lost their last 2. The Mariners cooperated and lost again, of course, on Wednesday. So no game for them last night. 3.5 games back of the Astros in the AL West. Meanwhile, the Rangers are 5 games back. You can ask any question on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. HTX Rhino asks how I feel about he who shall not be named, the starter who definitely threw at Cesar Salazar, with dreadlock man. Would you rock the dreadlock look, a la Bo Derek and Ted? I would look like such a stoner, and I think that I'm a little bit too white to pull that off. I feel like if I were able to get a tan of some sort, that maybe, just maybe, I could pull off dreadlocks. But now, I like the flow I've got right now. I don't know why I would do the dreadlocks unless I lost some sort of bet. And I'm not sure if I can even grow my hair long enough to do dreadlocks. I feel like I would need, or braids. I don't know what they're called. I always thought they were called dreadlocks until the last couple of years. People are like, oh, they're braids. And then I find out sometimes they're extensions. Other times I find out they're wigs. What do you want? What do you want from me? This is too much to keep track of. But to answer your question, I would not want to do it, and I do not think I could pull it off. Just ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask any question. We'll work it in. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We did have a reminder last night that the Yankees are the absolute worst, because Aaron Boone, in the middle of the game, and I was watching it on mute while watching the Cowboys and the Eagles game to open up the season, and all of a sudden I see Aaron Boone is bitching and moaning about something, and I was wondering, who's the roof? Does he want it open this time? Does he have issues with the dimensions of Daikin Park, even though he doesn't seem to have issues with the dimensions of his own park? What the hell is he bitching about this time? Well, we found out, because in the ninth inning, the Astros did make things spicy. They did have the bases loaded with two outs, down 8-4. They were not able to do anything with it. But in the ninth inning, Taylor Trammell's bat, which he had doubled with in his last at-bat, was checked upon bitching and moaning by Aaron Boone, and eventually confiscated. Boone's rationale is as follows. Quote, it was just something that we noticed this series and asked the league about. You're not allowed to do anything to your bat. I'm not saying he was. We noticed, and the league thought it was maybe illegal too. Well, of course, Rob Manfred is a Yankees fan, and he's the commissioner of baseball. That certainly, if you want to put on your tinfoil hat, is a theory that you could put in response to Aaron Boone saying that. So Boone just speculated. I don't know if there's any confirmation about what was done with the bat. And since the bat was confiscated, I guess it will be investigated. But Aaron Boone says, you're not allowed to do anything with your bat. I'm not saying he was. I just, .. What? Okay, so now you could just do this with anybody? I don't like this bat. I think you should take a look. Now, maybe he had a conversation with baseball after, I don't know, one of the games in this series between the Astros and Yankees, but this is a lot of crap. You can just ask for a bat to be confiscated in the middle of a game. More from Aaron Boone. The discoloration was on the label. Like, I don't know if it was just natural or if it was sand. I don't know. I don't want to accuse Taylor. I'm not saying anything untoward or whatever. What are you talking about? If you're asking for them to look at the bat, you are making an accusation. That is a fact. They took the bat. It is now confiscated. Taylor Trammell played for the Yankees last year on top of this. So one, patronizing move by Aaron Boone for one of his ex-players. Oh, he hit a double? Let's take a look at the bat. A guy you don't typically expect to hit a double. Two, I don't want to make any accusations against him, but okay, but you just made accusations against him. You don't need to say, I think Taylor Trammell specifically is doing something. If you're asking umpires to take the bat away, you are making an accusation against Taylor Trammell. Trammell's response in postgame: to be honest, I have no idea how you shaved down a bat, because that's what the Yankees thought. He was told the Yankees thought his bat was shaved down too much. My biggest problem is I feel kind of defensive right now. So it's testing my character of, like, I'm going to willingly do that? I'm kind of lost on that thing. I think if anybody knows me, knows that I'm never going to cheat any turns or anything like that. I have no idea. That's baffling to me that it was even checked. They didn't like it. Sorry. My time over there, I had a lot of respect for Booney. Had. He was straight up with me. In that situation, I really don't understand it. I don't understand it. Yeah, I don't either. They thought that the bat was sanded down. I don't know how they prove whether or not a bat is sanded down upon review by baseball. And I don't know. Are baseball players going out of their way after a game, like a samurai with a whetstone on his katana, to sand the bat down, to sharpen the bat? I don't know. I feel like that's a bit of a reach. But that's just me. And guess what? The Yankees confiscate the bat, and now people are once again pointing at the Astros and saying that they're cheating, they're up to something. That's what happens as a byproduct of this. Aaron Boone being patronizing towards one of his ex-players and then making an allegation without actually making an allegation, being too much of a chicken bleep to actually put his name on the allegation. This is why it's so easy to hate the New York Yankees. I suppose that in a world where they are the Astros' little brother, even though they did take 2 of 3, season series split at 3 games apiece, I suppose that at the very least, they can still find ways to make us hate them. I would not have an issue with Boone looking at this as much if he was saying, yeah, I'm not making any accusations. Shut up. What are you talking about? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. It is an Ask Alon Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. A disrespectful question on an Ask Alon Anything Friday from Dr. Dre on 290. Paul, did Hannah McNair hire you as the cabana boy yet? Hey. Just because I've got a nice bod does not mean I'm a pool boy, and does not mean that Hannah McNair, who is married, would hire someone who is in a strong relationship with a strong, powerful, and independent woman. Come on. Not nice. Cal McNair, he's got a sick stash. Doesn't look bad for his age. Is tall. How dare you? How dare you slander the first lady of the Houston Texans and our beloved king, Cal McNair, who sometimes cooks hamburgers for us or something, which I've never actually gotten to eat. Can't tell if they're actually good, if the quality of the meat's good. Did he put onions on top of it? Does he put cheese in all of them and not ask anybody if they want cheese on them? That's generally, I will put a thumbs down towards that when somebody does that. I don't want cheese on my burger. Back off. Get back. You don't know me like that. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text. And Not Santa says, I'm going with the Yacht Rock look today. No. I'm wearing a golf polo right now. This is a golf polo. And I always wear sunglasses on remotes because I don't want to make eye contact with anybody and have them come up to me and start talking to me. This happens literally every single time. That's the only reason I do it. Much like I sometimes wear sunglasses when I'm driving my car, even if it's sunny outside, so that if I go up to an intersection where there's a homeless person there, I don't have to make eye contact with them and feel bad. I also just don't carry cash entirely because I don't want to feel obligated to give a homeless person a couple of dollars. Am I a bad person? Probably. 713-780-3776 to call, the text. It is an Ask Alon Anything Friday. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. The NFL is back. We saw the Eagles take down the Cowboys last night in the season opener. But the story of the game happened before the game even really began. We'll talk about it on the other side. It is the Paul Gallant Show, live from East River 9 on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Stay put. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Yankees beat the Astros last night 8-4. Yordan Alvarez continued his hot streak, but the Astros' bullpen definitely limited. And the Astros had opportunities to tie the game up at the very end. They weren't able to make it happen. A texter said, Paul, this is the most mentally weak team we've had during this run, isn't it? Botch ground ball, give up a game-ending 3-run homer, come up to bat in clutch situations, constantly ending in a strikeout or double play. It's become sadly predictable. Well, look, I understand getting upset that they had the opportunities, but I also think that they deserve credit because they gave themselves the opportunities at the very end of this game, you know? Like, they did hang in there, and they hung in there also on Wednesday night. So I get being frustrated for sure. I think more than anything, I would be frustrated just about how this bullpen has some real volume in terms of limitation in terms of just the sheer volume they have. They just don't have – they don't have enough arms. And Christian Javier is one of those pitchers where, yes, he's going to give you some good moments, but he's going to be out of the game early. And if he's out of the game early in the midst of a jam and the bullpen has to come clean that up and then clean up the next couple of innings and Brian Abreu pitched the night before, I mean, you're in a kind of tough spot. So definitely not feeling Caleb Ort these days. But I mentally weak, I think that's a strong thing to say about him. You know, I would say of all the guys on the team, the guys who's the most mentally weak because he constantly throws temper tantrums is the pitcher who will not be named, who claims he did not throw intentionally at his catcher, even though his body language and his catcher's body language screams otherwise. 713-780-3776 to call into text and on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. We will talk about Spitgate and Cowboys Eagles. Jeff has a question about the Astros. Jeff, what's going on?
What's going on, Paul? How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, a couple things real quick, and I'll get off the phone. One thing is I don't know why they kept ordering after walking the second batter. I said to Fulham, sure enough, he gives up three-run home run. That was just terrible coaching, along with the bunt calls that Scott has been doing.
Bunts are getting out of control. I'm with you there. I can understand leaving Ort in because of the limits on in the bullpen arms, and Jeff, I'll let you continue. The bunts, though. Good God, can we stop? This is not a Mickey Mouse team with a Mickey Mouse lineup.
How about Correa batting fourth? He did it right last night, but why is he batting DH? I don't understand that either. He hasn't got anything, but he had two hits, I think, besides singles. And Dykin, since he's been back, he's had two extra base hits since he's been
back. It does feel like they're just spinning a random wheel when it comes to who gets the DH and who isn't the DH. So I'm with you on that front, too. I like him in that spot. He just didn't come through when he needed to last night. What else you got?
And my big question is, how do you feel, or what do you think is going to happen when the Rangers are going to take two out of three, if not sweep us? They got our number, brother. They got our number.
Jeff, I agree with that negativity. I'm not allowing it. We're at East River 9. We got the listener party tonight. And appreciate the phone call. Look, Astros fans,
I'm going to try to get up there tonight.
You're going to try to? All right, cool. Well, if you don't have a ticket, I think we will be hanging out in the actual, not the beer hall area, but the beer garden afterwards. So if people are lingering outside, we will probably be there at the very end. Jeff, appreciate the phone call. Look, I bring this up every now and then with Astros fans. I don't want to call Astros fans soft, but there's a lot of this. Like you know what they've been able to do over all these years. And earlier in the week, I had a little pre-football syndrome, you know, the male version of PMS is PFS. I had it. I was being bitchy and moany and all that stuff. After last night's loss, certainly things to be frustrated about. But to go into this weekend series against a team that's five games back of you in the AL West and assume that they're going to take two out of three, the team that's five games back of you, come on. Now, there's going to be a tough pitcher matchup on Saturday. It's Hunter Brown versus Jacob DeGrom. And tonight, we don't even know, I think, yet officially who the Astros starter is going to be unless that's been released in the last couple of minutes. But no, do not go into this weekend with negative energy. I'm sorry. Not allowing it. Not allowing it. It's too nice outside at East River 9. It is breezy. It is definitely still a little bit humid, though. 713-780-3776 to call the text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975 on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. We will talk about the Texans, their week one game against the Rams, a little bit later on in the show in more detail. Vera, our guy, has a question about the Houston Texans. Good to hear from you again, Vera. What's up?
Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing well, man. Hey, a question. So, Rams, I know everybody talks about Stafford's health, but the main thing I'm really looking forward to seeing, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, because we got a very unknown offensive line. I know Nico said he was tired of talking about the offensive line, but Rams have probably one of the most dynamic young front seven. I mean, with Wirth and Jared Wirth and Kobe Turner and Byron Young and Braden Fisk. I mean, they got a legit front seven. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts and what do you think about the prospects of the Houston offensive line, especially the interior offensive line, against the Rams front seven.
I don't feel good about it, Vera. I mean, this is a true trial by fire, and appreciate the phone call because Jared Verse, their best player. Can you believe this Rams defensive line doesn't have Aaron Donald anymore and is this good? Like, they were really good last season. And I know that maybe against the run, take a look at what Saquon Barkley did to them in two games. I think it was almost 500, if not over 500 yards in two games that he had between the regular season game and the playoff game. But while they're not great against the run based off of last season, specifically against the Eagles running game, which who is good against that, might I add? Take a look at the Cowboys and their issues stopping that last night, whether it's Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley. Obviously, they got rid of Micah Parsons, so that adds a little extra ease to that. Sorry, AJ, back at Mission Control. But to bring it back to the Texans and going up against this pass rush, yeah, this is a trial by fire. I do think by default they should be better because the new offensive line coach, I think that this guy has the right attitude. Cole Popovich stepping in for a guy who was on the verge of retiring. I think the new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, is someone that seems like he'll at the very least be better than Bobby Slowick. Low bar to clear, but there's so much new for this week one game where Christian Kirk's out, I would imagine. I bet they make the official ruling later on this afternoon if they haven't already. He's dealing with a hamstring issue. He's supposed to be out a couple of weeks. So you don't have one of those slot guys who can get open with experience very early on with Stroud under pressure. Like, that's what the best part about Christian Kirk is he brought in a guy that when he's healthy, and that's an issue for him, he can get open in a short range and you can dump the ball off to him if you're under pressure. So now that means that Jalen Knoll, who is a rookie that you took after Jaden Higgins, two Iowa State wide receivers, is going to be thrust into a much bigger role. How is he going to fare? It's his first ever NFL game. It's on the road. I imagine it will be at the very least semi-loud for him, probably louder than anything he's faced at Iowa State. Could be wrong on that front, at least as far as hostile environments he's gone into, unless Iowa's really loud. And then on top of that, like, Jaden Higgins has to step up too. So you're asking two rookie receivers and a rookie tackle to play their best game in their first game against a Rams defense that's pretty good, that's also on the road. The defense has to win you this game. The defense has to win you this game, and I don't know if it's by scoring a touchdown, scoring multiple touchdowns, or knocking Matt Stafford out, who's going to be probably the freshest he is all season, but vibes are not great going into this game. I don't feel good about it right now. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. It is an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask any question, and I will work it in to the show. Darren in Nederland says, after my Rangers sweep the Astros this weekend, what are the odds we take the division? Well, let's cross that bridge when we get there. I'm not even entertaining that thought. I think one of these teams will take two or three against the other. We will see which one it actually is, you know? Tony the Handsome says, you're being too negative about the Texans. I'm turning it over to the Texans flagship. On the other side, because we did touch on the Texans a little bit, we will talk about Spitgate. Jalen Carter got ejected for spitting at Dak Prescott. Did Dak Prescott, perhaps, spit at Jalen Carter intentionally? Because he definitely spit at him. Both accounts. We try to figure out what's right and what's not on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show live at East River 9 on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Stay put. Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. The NFL is back. Last night, the Cowboys went up to Philadelphia, saw the Eagles hang banner number two. I thought it was pretty funny that all the Eagles players were turning away from the banner as it was hung. The game was fun early on. Both offenses looked really good. I thought the Cowboys, specifically Dak Prescott, looked awesome before the thunderstorm hour-long break. And specifically Prescott to CeeDee Lamb looked borderline unstoppable in the first half. And I thought to myself during the first half, man, maybe I've been a little bit too hard on CeeDee Lamb, who I've always called a tad overrated. Because every now and then there's a drop. A drop's in the first half. Second half, oh boy. 3-4. Some, I think it's debatable. Was it a drop? Would it have been a tough catch? I would say the last one would have been a tough catch. But the one that Dak dropped in his basket a couple of plays before, oh, man. You got to catch that one. So CeeDee Lamb is probably pretty happy that the very beginning of the NFL season was this. An Eagles player suffers what looks to be a season-ending injury. You can see it in his face right away. And during the stoppage before play one, because that happened on the opening kickoff, flags were thrown, shoves were exchanged, and we found out that Jalen Carter had been ejected. And thanks to NBC and all the cameras that they have for the first game of the season, we saw all sorts of angles, Zapruder-style analysis of every single spit from both, one, Jalen Carter, and two, eventually, Dak Prescott. So someone asked on an Ask Alon Anything Friday, Paul, what are your thoughts about Jalen Carter spitting on Dak last night? So entirely based off of the observations. At first reaction is, oh, Jalen Carter doing something dumb? What a surprise. He doesn't exactly have the best judgment. See his time at Georgia and why he slipped in the draft to the Eagles. Probably would have been the first overall pick or up for the first overall pick after the quarterbacks had he not been into Fast and Furious Bulldog Drip. But he was. So, okay. Carter gets tossed. But they didn't show right away Dak Prescott and what Prescott did. And if you're watching the cameras and if you do not take into account what Dak and Jalen said, you'll hear from Dak in just a moment. Watch that replay. Jalen Carter, who should not have been on the Cowboys side of the line of scrimmage. I don't know why he walked over there. He walks close by the Cowboys offensive linemen while they're in the huddle. And Dak spits, and when Dak spits behind a couple of offensive linemen, I'm not sure if he was intending to spit at Carter for getting so close or spit near Carter for getting so close, but Carter comes closer after that spit happens, and the look on Dak Prescott's face, it did not seem to be apologetic. It did not seem to be, whoops, my bad either. I mean, he looked like a troll. He looked like he had a twinkle in his eye. I don't know if he expected Jalen Carter to fire back, but watch that replay. Remove your Cowboys hate or Cowboys love from the equation, and you tell me what happened. He had a twinkle in his eye after the spit. He did. You can't tell me otherwise. Here's what Dak Prescott said about Spitgate after last night's game.
He was trolling, I guess you could say, trying to mess with Tyler Booker. I was just looking at him. I was right here by the two linemen. And yes, I needed to spit, and I wasn't going to spit on my lineman. I just spit ahead. But I'd say he was back there where Jory was in that sense. And he asked, or he goes, you trying to spit on me? At that point, I mean, I felt like, he was insulting me. Like, I wouldn't spit on somebody. I'm damn sure not trying to spit on you. Like, we're about to play a game. I'm wondering why you're trying to mess with the rookie. And so when I step through, I actually say the words, like, what the hell would I, excuse me, but I'm probably even more colorful. What would I need to spit on you for? And he just spit on me in that moment. And it was more of a surprise than anything. Refs obviously saw it through the flag. I was like, hell yeah, we get 15 yards to start the game off. Didn't realize he was getting ejected. Unfortunate that he did. Hell of a player. Changed our plan and our blocking scheme, as I told you all right before the week, that we're going to protect against him. So helped in that manner, but I don't wish for anybody to get out of the game. I'm sure he probably regrets that to some extent. I'm pretty sure he knows I didn't try to spit on him or wasn't even aiming to spit on him. So something that's probably going to need a lot of coverage and a lot of attention that I feel sorry for in the sense of, I know how excited each and every one of us are, right, to kick off the season and the season opener and hell of a player like that doesn't even get a chance in the first play. Unfortunate circumstances.
How did you?
A minute and a half long answer when asked about that. And I believe part of what he said. I do think there's a chance that he wasn't trying to spit at Jalen Carter. But the look on his face makes him seem guilty. It does. Go back and watch it. He's got a twinkle in his eye as he does it. Now, maybe he was just surprised that Jalen Carter was so close to the Cowboys line of scrimmage. Or, excuse me, the Cowboys huddle. And he was practically in the Cowboys huddle. And Jalen Carter, I think you could say, definitely was asking for it. You know? But in that long answer that Dak gave, he says, I spit so many times over the course of a game. I don't know. It didn't seem like there was a lot of spit going on there. Like, both he and Carter, like, these weren't loogie hawkages. These were just spits with not a lot of spit in them. I don't know that you can entirely rule out that Prescott might have had a little intent behind it. Poor Marine comments on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Dak was not spitting on anyone. Captain Photon said, I didn't see Dak spit on Carter. There is a replay. There is 100% a replay of it. It definitely happened. The intent, I think, is debatable. Meanwhile, here is Eagles defensive lineman Jalen Carter talking about his ejection.
Hey, Jalen, could you explain what happened from your vantage point?
You know, it was a mistake that happened on my side. It just won't happen again. I feel bad for just my teammates and the fans out there. You know, I'm doing it for them. You know, I'm doing it for my family also. But the fans, you know, they show the most love. You heard them out the other day. You know, just not being able to finish the game just fucked me up. But we'll get it better. It won't happen again.
Yeah, can we?
Give him a little bit of room.
There's footage later that showed that Dak may have done something first. Do you feel like that he precipitated
a little bit of room?
No, I don't try to do nothing out of the ordinary. You know, anything that I feel like I've done something back is provoked. But, you know, if there's something out there, y'all see it, we'll go off that.
So, I'll give Jalen Carter credit here, and Carter knows he's going to be in trouble all week for this. He did not blame anybody but himself. That's a sign of some growth, some maturity, because it was a stupid move. He shouldn't have been on the Cowboys side of the field, the Cowboys side of the line of scrimmage, by the Cowboys huddle. But I don't think Dak is 100% innocent here. I don't. A couple of texts, let's respond to them on an Ask on Anything Friday. One texter says, Dak definitely spit at Jalen Carter. He even had a bleepy smirk after he did, not justifying what Carter did, but Dak did that on purpose. Had Dak not smirked, I don't think any of us would be making this. Had Dak acted like, oh man, my bad, afterwards, I think that perhaps we would be giving Dak all the benefit of the doubt here. Because Jalen Carter, again, not the best judgment. He showed some poor judgment here multiple times. Another texter, what pisses me off is people saying he didn't spit anywhere near him. Dak literally spit in his direction and smiled, for crying out loud. Yeah, like that. He it was near him. Was it at him? And this is the last part of what Dak said, so true. Like, this is going to be talked about for a couple of days, at least until the first slate of Sunday games. And it's a slow college football weekend, so might be discussed a little bit tomorrow as well. Texter says, asks the question, wait, Dak actually spit on him? Or in his direction? It's in his direction, at the very least. I do not know if there was intent behind it, but go watch it if you haven't seen it. Go watch it if you only saw the Jalen Carter side of it, because for the longest time, that's the only side that I saw of it. But there was a second spitman in last night's Cowboys-Eagles game. Waka waka. I'm sure that joke has been made a million times today. For the 936, Dak 100% did it intentionally, not on him, but at him. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. And there is a part of me that doesn't hate that. He's on your side of the line of scrimmage. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. It's like Rajon Rondo stuff. Remember him when he, back in the day, he would constantly go into team huddles and just stand there and just trying to be annoying. And I mean, when he was on your team and does it, it's great. But when he's not on your team and does it, it's obnoxious. From the YouTube, Captain Photon says, Dak spit on Lamb in the locker room. I mean, he deserved it. For the 936, I fart in your general direction. That's a Monty Python reference. Yeah, maybe Dak should have farted instead of spitting. From the 817, the second guy always gets caught. That is true. Not exonerating Jalen Carter for what he did. And I think that CeeDee Lamb should send Jalen Carter a nice bottle of whiskey or something. Anyway, it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Johan says Dak should have been ejected. And if he's looking out for the Cowgirls, no. Hey, I think this really was the refs didn't see it. He was sneaky about it. Like, he did it behind the two offensive linemen, in between them two. And he's right. He didn't want to spit on them. I mean, he had his story down straight. He's a quarterback. Quarterbacks are always pretty polished because they're in front of the podium as much as Dak's been. There was a twinkle in his eye as he gave that spit. There's definitely room to say Dak did that on purpose. You know how to get in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Up next, Texans, Rams, Sunday. The vibes are not great. You'll hear why on the other side. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put. What a move by Slim Thug, turning the Fox NFL theme into a rap. How did no one else think to do that? It's one of those ones where after the fact, you got to wonder, wait, why did no one else do that? But shout out to Slim Thug being the first. Houston, Texas, on my arm. Love it. Anyway, you want to weigh in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, you can. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. Lots of takes on... lots of takes on Spitgate. Chandler Westmoreland thinks the NFL should sue Slim Thug. I guess it would be Fox. I'm sure that he was able to green light that in some way, shape, or form. So we could put that out there. Someone texted in when I said CeeDee Lamb should give Jalen Carter a bottle of whiskey. This texter says, a bottle of whiskey and a don't drive after drinking letter. Yeah, that might be a nice clarification with said bottle. So, if you take a look at the Texans going into week one, there are some causes for concern. And you heard Vera call about it a little bit earlier. The Rams have a really good pass rush, and the Texans have an entirely new offensive line. It's entirely new. Titus Howard at right tackle, I suppose, is the one constant from last year, but Howard's been back and forth between guard and tackle on the right side so often that, in a way, it is kind of new. Right guard, it's Ed Ingram. Center, it's Jake Andrews. Left guard, it's Laken Tomlinson. And at left tackle, it's a rookie in Ariante Ursary. Tomlinson and Ingram are journeymen. Andrews was a Patriots cast-off on an offensive line that wasn't very good. I mean, there are some real reasons to wonder, damn. Last year sucked for the Texans' offensive line, but how much better can it be? Is it really a matter of coaching? Is Cole Popovich going to be able, as the new offensive line coach, to get all these guys together? Is the offensive coordinator going to have all these players up to speed? Because week one, the Texans will be without Joe Mixon. We've known that for a while. And they're also going to be without Christian Kirk, based off of Adam Schefter's reporting yesterday. C.J. Gardner-Johnson might be out there, so that's nice to see on the Texans' defense, which is the strength of their team and will be likely for the entirety of this year. But you've got a lot of unknown for the Texans' offense on Sunday. And you're going up against a competent team. It would be one thing if they were playing the Jaguars or the Colts or the Titans or some team that also has as many new parts. But with the Rams, you've got Matt Stafford. And I know Matt Stafford's been dealing with back issues all offseason. But you got to imagine, this is probably going to be the best that Matt Stafford feels all season, right? He might be rusty, of course, because he hasn't really practiced a training camp on the level you would expect out of your starting quarterback. But we've seen lots of veteran quarterbacks take their time to report to the offseason for their respective teams over the NFL's history. It's not like this is something that's never happened before. And Stafford is one of those guys that I think puts in the work. I don't think he's like Brett Favre and he just shows up, you know? Nothing against Brett Favre. I always felt Brett Favre could have put in a little extra work when he was out there. But for Stafford, I think that this is going to be the best Stafford feels all season, just by default. It's the first game. Until he gets hit a few times, and hey, if the Texans defense is swarming all over the place, then okay, maybe, just maybe, they're able to force a couple of takeaways, they're able to score, but I think that the defense is going to have to score for them to win on Sunday. And look, you got some ball hawks in the secondary, but the Rams, you could argue, upgraded the receiver core. Cooper Kupp was not the Cooper Kupp he used to be. So in the offseason, along with Puka Nacua, who had such an awesome season, they also bring in Davante Adams. Yeah, that Davante Adams. Everything dies with the Jets. I think Davante Adams with Sean McVay, Davante Adams with Matt Stafford, I think he's going to look good. Now, Texans secondary, you feel pretty good with them. You feel good about Derek Stingley matching up against Adams. But, I mean, they have two good receivers. And sure, Kamari Lassiter is a really good number two corner. I think he's one of the better number two corners, if not the best number two corner in the league. Definitely better than the Cowboys guy, Deron Bland. But how are they going to hold up? The defense is going to have to make things happen all game long, and I think the Texans' offense is going to struggle to stay on the field. I think Stroud's going to get hit. I hope that he does not continue to have the same jitters that he's had. And also for Stroud, this is the first game where he is in ownership of the offense. He's going to be out there. He's going to be making calls at the line of scrimmage, and he's been dismissing it a lot over the course of the offseason now, as it's not that big of a deal. But that is also new. There's just so many new layers for the Texans in week one. And while I think they're going to clean up a lot of them by the end of the season, to expect all of them to be cleaned up right away enough so that the Texans' offense can power this team to a win, you're asking too much. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975 on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. The vibes seem off on the YouTube side of things. Roy Smith? My bad. I was about to say like ROI Smith. Roy Smith says the Texans are going to get worked in L.A. Don't get your battle red hopes up. Wouldn't it be deep steel blue hopes up? Because it's a blue pill, and we're talking about getting up, and, you know, it's gonna, the pills, pants tense, all that jazz. So your deep steel blue hopes up. No? By the way, they're going to be wearing the deep steel blue jerseys. The Rams are wearing this L.A. uniform, and it's so L.A. We're going to wear these uniforms today, okay? After our trip to the farmer's market, we're going to go to SoFi Stadium, and we're going to wear our white and soul uniforms. That's right, white and soul. We call our pant color soul. Even though it's yellow, we call it soul. Right. So we're going to wear our white jerseys and our soul color pants. It looks really good. Okay? We're solid.
So the Texans are going to be wearing their blues. And we've got Kevin Harlan on the call. I love it when Kevin Harlan ends up calling a Texans game. So much better than the days of Andrew Catalan and like the F team for CBS. Like we finally getting some respect. Chandler Westmoreland says on YouTube, the only work the Texans are getting in L.A. is from them beautiful women. Well, I hope not. I think C.J. Stroud was asked about women, and he said L.A. women over Houston women, and I think that I would agree with that. L.A. is like top of the top. But the accessibility of the top of the top, not so accessible. By the way, I have a beautiful girlfriend who I love. Just wanted to clarify that. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Roy Smith says, I miss Solomon Wilcots. Yeah. Remember they always would have some words of wisdom, like Solomon's keys to the game, and I think it was like Solomon's mind. Wait, no, that was Jerome Solomon's column in the Houston Chronicle. But it was like King Solomon's takes or something like that. And it was like, hey, man, hey, the cutting the baby in half was not that novel of a concept, you know? I bet he actually wanted the baby to be cut in half. He was like, let's just spill this baby open because we want to decrease, you know, starvation in our town. Anyway. Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston on an Ask Elon Anything Friday. On the table,
the Astros losing 2 of 3 to the Yankees, Aaron Boone being a narc on Taylor Trammell and his bat in last night's game, also on the table, Spitgate. Did Dak spit at Jalen Carter? Was Jalen Carter in the right? And the Texans season opener against the Rams on Sunday. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Work in more of your questions. Stick around here. We're live at East River 9 with the best view of Houston's downtown in town.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.